I mean, 5 for 5 on the scriptures. Undefeated. The Patriots aren't even going to do that good this year. Woo. Ain't that crazy? Hebrews chapter 6. Man, it's good to be in church, isn't it? This is my kind of tailgating right here. Amen? No hangover about it. Hebrews chapter 6, if you wanted the deep part of verses 1 to 6, you'll have to get Wednesday evening's message because that's when we covered that. I think it was Wednesday evening or the previous. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. In other words, these folks, hey, why don't you get saved instead of keep going back over it and over, you know, bound by the paralysis of analysis. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. I'm tempted to go over that again, but I'm not gonna. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. In the context, the rain, like the word, falls discriminately, like the parable of the sower. And it's up to the recipient, the ground of the heart, whether it's going to bring forth fruit or whether it's going to bring forth thorns and thistles and be burned. Amen? Verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Father, I'm blessed, Lord. I could go home now and be filled, Lord. That message tugged my heart and tugged my tears. And you are amazing. And thank you for tears, Lord. Thank you for hurt. Thank you for pain. Thank you for pleasure. All that stuff we sing about. And Lord, I don't welcome it, but boy, you sure are real in those valleys. Lord, I pray, I just want to help your people, sort of a different message today. And I just want to be a help to those that might be in the valley of decision, maybe those that are considering salvation, just like these Hebrews were. And I pray your blessings upon your word. May we be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Said, cricket, shut up. You know, one thing about in homiletics, you know, preaching class, you learn about topical preaching and expository preaching. Expository preaching, sort of the Bible takes you where it wants to go. At topical, you sort of take the Bible, not out of context, but where you want to go. Like we did last week, we went on off expository. We went on a topic of young people and that. But so today, I wouldn't think of ever coming to this scripture to preach this message, but it's just really fun and interesting and let you know that the Word of God is alive and real when you're preparing to preach things like this. And so this verse 9 is the appeal of every preacher, of every godly parent, of every soul winner, of every personal worker. We are persuaded of better things for you. Parents, in that we want for our kids. Preachers, ministers, soul winners, personal workers. Isn't that our whole thing? Counselors, we are going out there. We have something and we want you to be better. We want better things than the state you're in. Just a coinkadinky. The book of Hebrews, how many how many tribes in the nation of Israel? 12 times. Can you guess how many times better is in there? 12 times better. So it won't be the first message on better that we've heard in the book of Hebrews. I think this is lesson 26. And it certainly won't be the last. Better is a comparative. Having good qualities in a greater degree than another. More advantageous. Sounds good to me. Physical, spiritual, financial, better. I got to thinking about better. And unless you're a total sloth or a sluggard or a lazy loser, you probably want better. In fact, Dylan, I got to thinking, to the sloth, he thinks slothfulness is better. I mean, why work when somebody else will pay your way? All right? So. But for the majority, they want better. That's why you get an education. That's why you go to work. I mean, isn't better what keeps Walmart in business? I was going over this thing one last time this morning. I thought, hey man, that's their motto. Live better. Spend less. Woo, win-win. Day without Walmart's like a day without sunshine. I always tell the cashier when I check out. You know, it keeps the universities going. People want to be better. You know why you got saved? Better. Who doesn't want better kids? Who doesn't want a better ministry? Who doesn't want a better situation? Who doesn't want a better health? That's what we want for our children. Why are we going through all? You've got to be a fool to homeschool if you don't want better. When someone else is doing it for free for you? And then you come and put up with this church? I know why you're here. I know why you're sacrificed. I know why. Because you must think that you and yours will be better for the doing it. That's what we're talking about today. Better things. So I just want to take the word and help you in the decision process of making decisions for better things. It's natural to pursue better. But there's a danger in better. If I could put it this way, better is not always better. Better is a function of perception. And I'll get a little philosophical and then we'll hammer at home with the Bible. I said to Bill Robinson the other day, I said, I think our church is the best church. And he goes, yeah, I do too. Well, that's obvious. But the other 20 churches in Orleans County don't think those people go there. They don't think so. You take sales. Some people shop for price point. I mean, if it's cheaper, it's got to be better, right? Other people, they like the service after the sale. The best service is determines better. Some people like the extended low interest for 72 months. Man, if you buy a car on 72 months, you got a screw loose. Now, I can see if you're where they don't put salt on the roads. That's called over your head. Is that what it's called when you're going to be paying for that thing? Other people, give me the $2,000 off up front. It's better. So better, in a lot of cases, is a function of perception. You know what our country's going through right now? Brethren, there's going to be a civil war. I was going to say they're going to be shedding blood. They're already shedding blood. They're beating people and stomping on people and fighting people and burning police cars. You know what over? Two ideas of what's better. And if we don't get our way, we'll kill you for it. So evidently, better is a perception. Function of perception. Number two, perception can change. I thought my statistician would be here today. But I think, I don't know how many is here today, 200, 300, 100. But if we added how many thought this church was better at one time and don't today, you wouldn't be able to put them in five buildings. What happened? Perception changed. I got to meditating on this a little bit. I could go through my head 10 times. People, and I'm not being critical, I'm just telling you about better. It's important what I'm telling you. People come here and say, oh, it looks so peaceful. Like pseudo-Amish. A simpler lifestyle. And I've seen this. It's not 100%, but it's a general rule. It's usually strong women that drive that pseudo-Amish thing. I've just seen it. And they'll get the, you know, I mean, right off the Nino and the Pinto and the Santa Maria, you know, Plymouth Rock. And we want the April. We had one family one time. This woman said, we're going off the grid for a month, Pastor. Have a bowl. I mean, we're shutting the water off. We're going off the grid. Because it's better for about 2 weeks. You know what you find if you saw that woman around town today? She don't think that's better no more. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying better is a function of perception, and perception can change. 20 years ago, I had a perception that a large piece of property in the country with barns and farms and fields and animals and tractors and guns and bows and arrows and hunting was better. I'm on the third belt tractor, a belt for my lawnmower deck, in 3 weeks. $25 a crack. I look at these poor saps 20 years ago living in a condominium. Are you kidding me? I go to my dad's. Who's that guy out there? He's cutting the grass. Hey, you missed a spot. Better is a function of perception, and perception changes. So we better be careful about what is better. And that's where the Bible comes in. Better is a function of perception. Perception changes. Perception of what is better can be deceiving. And that's where the Bible comes in. That's why we need the Bible. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's how I find my way, because people get in big messes not discerning correctly what they thought was better. And the Bible's full of it. Hallelujah. We can learn from some other fool's mistake. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is arguing. These people, they had priests. They had the word. They had an assembly. They had religion. They had sacrifices. They had covenants. They had promises. They had a testament. And 12 times he says, yes, I know you have that, but there's better priests. There's a better testament. There's a better promise. There's a better covenant. That's his argument. Don't you want better? I do. Why don't people get saved? I'll tell you why. Because they don't think it's better. Why do people get saved? Because they think it's better. We got an array of responses yesterday out in them streets. There is a conflict in us of what is better. It's not always easy making decisions how to determine what's better. Number one, this is heavy. Who says it's better? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Who said it's better? Good decision making will keep you from a mess and keep me from a mess. Boy, you're not three chapters into the thing. And we got a problem with perceiving what's better. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. It's not better if you eat that fruit. Can we agree? And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that if they eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In plainer words, it'll be better. Who's saying it's better? God says it's better not to eat. Devil says it's better to eat. If the Bible's true, we better go with God's better. There are two conflicting betters in this world. Parents, you know where conflict comes with our teenagers as they get older? They get a worldview. They get opinions. You know where the conflict comes 99 out of 100 times? What's better? You don't know what's better from me. Yes, I do. I remember I was like, let's see, my mom died when I was 26. So I'm like 20. I said, am I ever old enough to make a decision? Yeah, when you're 40. Yeah, and my dad's still alive. You still don't know nothing, chump. Young people, who said what you want is better? Did God say it? Did your friends say it? Rehoboam had some friends. He went for counsel, went to his friends, went for the old men with the wisdom. What's better? He took the counsel if there was two opposing views of what is better. The devil, listen, if you're here and you're not saved, the devil will tell you, don't waste your time, don't waste your money, don't waste your effort. Sleep in and watch football on Sunday. I'll tell you what, a million years from now, you realize that wasn't better. The devil said, it's better, eat it, but it wasn't. The children of Israel, you know what they said? Wasn't it better in Egypt? No. You know what Jonah said? I'm better dead. You thinking about suicide today? Ever crossed your mind? In a church of old, it crossed my mind. I told my wife, let's just go, honey. Let's jump the bridge. You go first. I mean, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I'm not taking no chances on that one, Mark. If you're saved, you're not better dead. Jonah thought he was, and a whole city was waiting to be saved. If you ask my older children, what Dad would say when they say, but I thought. The younger ones don't know. They're looking at cold. But the older ones would say, that's what Naaman said. Naaman was in a mess with leprosy. And the prophet came and said, go dip yourself. And he said, those rivers aren't the rivers of Damascus. Isn't the river of Damascus better than the Jordan? Better than the river? Yeah, he thought. He thought wrong. So we got a conflict, brethren. And when we're not saved and we're like these Hebrews in there considering getting saved, you better realize that there is a conflict and who is saying what is better. And that's why we got a Bible. You want a better marriage? You can do what the world says. Marry someone of the same gender if you think, now they're starting to kill each other and it just happened right here in our own city. Transgender, killed. Now they're getting divorced. Really? There's opposing views. I saw a bumper sticker yesterday about lost my salvation. Women that behave never make history. Who says history? Making history makes life better. I almost put a note on that car, but I thought, let me get out of here. I'm going to put on there, they don't make history, but they sure make good wives and mothers. Hallelujah! And I add some things to that, but we're in mixed company. Let's move on. But better is a product of perception. Perception changes. If you're at the crossroads right now of trusting Christ, you're going to have all hell come against you. Your religion is good enough. Your works are good enough. And if you're a Christian and you're facing, and we're always facing decisions, you better ask yourself, who's saying it's better? You'll make the biggest mess of your life you ever made. Number two, when facing a better offer, listen, if you've got potential, I got to think in case I forget to say it, the young men that came up in this church, you know where the best of them are? They're either preaching or they're sidelined. You can expect better offers if you've got potential and I don't want to use the new natural, but you are gifted. You can expect offers. So you got to ask yourself this question. Who's saying this is better? Number two, is it better for the flesh or better for the spirit? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Simple this morning. We need preaching, don't we? I wouldn't last 2 weeks. I'm glad I got to do all the work for this stuff, because speaking of Moses, choosing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. By the way, verse 24, he came to years. Some of you young men came to years. That's when the better offer is going to come. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Who would choose that? Now listen, this is tough for a Burger King, have it your way, immediate gratification society. But who in the world would choose affliction over pleasure? Let's be honest. I don't want to go against what your parents tell you, kids, but sin feels good. That's the temptation of it. We get so surprised. Did you hear what happened? What the pastor did, what she did, what the missionary did. Why are you surprised? Oh, and we got to go through hills and valleys of what? I'll tell you why. It feels good. Sin is pleasurable. Man, it's quiet now. You know why we got an opioid epidemic in Orleans County? Why do you think they call it getting high? High. I used to get high. Colossians says, though, there's one far above all principalities and powers. Say, what happened when you get saved? I just got higher. Weed and cocaine and speed, it just didn't get me high enough. I needed Jesus. It's pleasurable. And we got to ask ourselves, if this offer I'm getting seems better, is it better for the flesh or is it better for the spirit? And if it's better for the flesh, if it's the flesh making the offer, you better be careful and I better be careful. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. David looked out the window and said, I could feel better right now. And guess what? He did. It was an offer of feeling better at the moment. But you know, the flesh and the devil and the world, they don't... this fine print. You know, at the end of the commercials, they just told you they want your firstborn, your house, and everything else if you buy this lease car for $100 for 10 years. The flesh and the devil, they didn't tell David about the ramifications of what you thought was better. And now he's in a mess. And once you start going down that road, now you say, ooh, now I'm in this bad situation. What can make my situation better? I know, I'll kill the husband. Now they kill the baby. Every abortion, every single one of them. Why are you killing a baby in your own womb? So it'll be better. He kills the husband. That'll make it better. Who said so? And will it make your situation better? Or will it make you better? And your relationship with God better? And your ministry better? When you get a better offer, we need to ask ourselves, who's saying it's better? And what's it better for? Because, brethren, we are all dumb sheep. The pastor's not the shepherd and you're dumb sheep. We're all dumb sheep. We need God. And if He can't get your soul to go to hell, He'll get your body to go down a stupid road. Who's saying it's better? You better ask yourself. The world, the flesh, the devil, or God? Is it better for your flesh or better for your spirit? Now, I'm not saying what's better for your flesh is bad. I'm not saying that, oh, if I order this T-bone, it can't be of God because my flesh... No, it's not saying that. Number three, is it better in the short run or in the long run? The offer you're getting. What's the focus on this offer you're getting? See, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to choose the pleasures of sin for a season, because like we always used to say on the streets, it's pleasurable for a season, but it's usually a short season. If nothing else, it's the season of this life. Luke chapter 12. Go to Luke chapter 12. We having fun? Even the crickets are quieting down now. I'll preach the hell out of them. Luke chapter 12, the crickets got saved. Luke chapter 12. Yeah, if you keep silence, the crickets will cry out. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Really? The world's not going to tell you that. The university's not going to tell you that. Oprah's not going to tell you that. Lifestyles of the rich and famous are not going to tell you that. Your flesh is not going to tell you that. The devil's not going to tell you that. Isn't rich better? Doesn't he that dies with the most toys win? We got a conflict. There's an offer of better. Consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I got no room where to bestow my fruits. I got so much junk, I don't know where to put it all. And he said, this will I do. I'll go rent a storage shed. I can't tithe or give to missions, but I got a real good deal. First month free. Be careful about taking an offer where the first month is free. We'll pay the first payment for you. Fool your grandmother. Okay? 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. Must have had a limited piece of property that he had to do that. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, after all, that's the goal, right? But God said, whoa. See your conflict? There's the offer of the world, there's the offer of the flesh, there's the offer of the devil, and there's what God said. Now this is, look at those next two words. Thou fool. Jesus said, you call someone a fool, you're in danger of the judgment. And he was so convinced that that person is a fool that he said, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I'm facing this decision. Look past the nose on the end of your face to the long run. You know, this is the modern church. Just right now is all that matters. I listened to a sermon yesterday of a guy, why I left the mega church. And he wasn't a hardcore conservative and didn't like the music. It just, he said, I had a gift and 3,000, 5,000 people a week were coming and watching me perform my gift and they weren't doing anything. So they started hundreds of these house churches where everybody was exercising their gift. Is what you're facing, is it, if something's whispering, this is better, this is better, this is better, you better ask yourself, is it better in the seen or the unseen? Is it better in the temporal or in the eternal? We're not supposed to, it may be better in the short run, but we're not supposed to live for the short run. The race that is set before us, it's likened to a marathon, not a sprint. When it comes to giving, a lot of preachers, especially prosperity preachers, prosperity preacher, what's that? If you just give to God, you'll be rich. But that thing died out 20 years ago. You know why? Because everybody tried it. I call those guys on the phone and say, I need a pair of pants. I don't have a pair of slacks. You're making all this money. Put your seed into my barn and you will be rich. Where'd you get that? Give and it'll be given unto you. You don't know what it is. Maybe it'll be something on the other side. Where do you see the Apostle Paul's prosperity? Where do you see James's prosperity? Where do you see John's prosperity? On the Isle of Patmos? Where do you see John the Baptist's prosperity? They gave their lives. What did they get? You're going to be faced with better. You better ask yourself, is this short term or is this long term? For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall save his life for my sake. Here's one. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Then we'll move to our next point and finish up. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Lazy people, this is their life verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4. But let's look at our principle here. Verse 7, 1 Timothy 4, 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. You got a bumper sticker that says 26.2. Mine says 1 Tim 4, 8. But let's read, brethren. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Oh, okay. So I got one that's profiting me a little and another that's profiting me to all. Let's see what the difference between the all and the little is. Having promise of the life that now is, say the next big word with me, and of that which is to come. Exercise profits you. It's just a fact. But only in this life. Godliness will profit all the way through. I'm all for the gym and the exercise and all that till it keeps you away from God. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. Who's saying it's better? What's it better for? The flesh or the spirit? Is it better in the short run or the long run? Lastly, Romans chapter 15. Oh, you're going to need this till the day you die, brethren. There's stuff waiting on up that road you have no idea. God has a spouse for you, and so does the devil. And they say to person that's more unhappy than the person that's not married is the person married to the wrong person. I'm not saying not to marry him. I'm saying you better look past that body and all that, especially us, because we believe in staying pure till marriage. You rush into that thing and the honeymoon is quick over. That beautiful thing will be ugly. That macho man getting angry and smashing things and beating on you. Romans 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. What? You know the world flesh devil didn't say that. Because here's number four. Is it better for you? Is it better for me? Or is it better for God and others? You better filter your offers through this or you're not going to get off first base. This is contrary to everything, especially in America, that this world stands for. Not to please ourselves. The Trinity, isn't it me, myself, and I? We're number one. When you ever seen a football team say, we're number 10? I mean, the Bills are 1-21 and they're walking around like this because they, you know... Well, they won last week. Whenever you want an amen, just say something good about the Bills. Let every one of us, what? Please his neighbor for his good, his good? What about my good, mommy? What about my good, daddy? What about my good, preacher? For even Christ pleased not himself. He did all these those things which pleased the Father. He had it better. He made better decisions. But that as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. So whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning. And this is where the world and carnal Christians have no concept. You're not going to hear this at the emergent church. Live for others! Come here because we can make you better. What do you have for me in this church? Sacrificial giving, busy schedules, going without, eggs and tomatoes on a street corner. Shall I go on? The world and carnal Christianity knows nothing about this. Because the world, flesh, and the devil is not looking at God and is not looking at others. It's looking at me. If it feels better, just do it. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. But what about the kids? The Spirit-filled believers and brethren, I need this message more than you, esteems other better than themselves. Paul said, totally contrary to what is better. I can get a little bit of this spending and be spent for others as long as I get my paycheck for a little while. But gladly?
spend and be spent. That's the spirit of Christianity. That's the spirit of good decision making. Paul said, I won't even eat a steak or a hamburger if it causes somebody to stumble. The writer says, we're persuaded better things of you. You know what? You might be better off with a divorce. Do you believe in it? No. I've told people, man, you've been miserable for 30 years. What's another 15? Maybe the girl up the street or the guy up the pew. I'm saying it. Or the person in the next cubicle. Maybe they will treat you better. Maybe they will submit to you. Maybe they will be more pleasant. But what about the kids? What about others? What about those family members that you've witnessed to for years in the testimony? Well, it'll feel better. Well, my situation will be better. Yeah, but how many situations will it ruin? Paul said, we're persuaded of better things for you. Paul said, we don't please ourselves. It's not supposed to be about us. You want a better physical life? Don't go to the mission field. Don't. You're going to have less friends. You're not going to see your family as much. You're not going to see your children once they grow and get their own life. You're not going to see your grandchildren. If that's your criteria for better. But the Bible says he that loses. Don't give to missions.
Yeah, I've been struggling with this missions thing. Every time they tell me, I can't pay my, I got to pay my tithe or my pay. What do I do?
He told me if I give, I'd be able to pay my... You going into marriage for you?
Now listen, I'm not going to sit here and be Mr. Super Spiritual and say, I went into marriage to make her life better.
Y'all know this thing too good. I went in to make my life better. And I bet you, even that goody two shoes went into it to make her life better. But that's two opposing perceptions. We better be very careful. Because if you go into that thinking, you are here to make my life better. And I'm not going to sit here and say, all I want to do is please her and make her life better and use me for a doormat. No, 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 no. I'm just talking about a rude awakening of what's better. Preferring other better than yourselves. There's men in this church that have been offered better jobs, and I can't think of who it was. It might have been you just recently. Man, I was offered some more money. Why didn't you take it? Because it would have impacted others. I would have had a better car. I would have might even been able to give more to missions. And but for my kids' sake, for me wanting to do my ministry's sake, for my family's sake, I didn't take it because of others. Others. What are others thinking? Jesus, I know it's cliche. Joy. Jesus, others, yourself. Try it. I don't care what anybody thinks. It's not better. Brethren, we're persuaded better things for you. You're not saved, you're pondering salvation. Boy, there's going to be some fighting going on. My friends, they thought I was, well, they still do. Crazy, man. What are you doing? Given your life for that. You know why? Because heaven sounded better than hell.
Because a guidebook for life just seemed better than winging it. And 50 million other opinions. And assurance of salvation just seemed better than hoping so, thinking so, everything but knowing so. If you're not saved, we are persuaded better things for you. Christian,
you in the valley of decision? Job, relationship, situation, purchase, even sin. Everyone's wants better. It's just natural. But we got a guidebook. You know what Eve thought? This would be better. All Achan wanted to do was a little bit better.
All Samson, and you could just go on, the children of Israel, Demas hath forsaken me. He must have thought there was something. He forsook the Apostle Paul.
And I just boo-hoo. How could somebody ever want to leave me?
They left Paul.
You know what Saul, not Saul of Tarsus, the Old Testament Saul, he thought sacrifice was better than obedience.
Long as you're reaching them, it's all that matters. Naaman, Jonah. The former days were better than these.
You know what the Holy Spirit said?
No. No, they weren't.
John touched on it a little bit. In fact, the Bible's backwards in a lot of ways. Sorrow is better than laughter.
The house of mourning is better than the house of feasting. You're telling me a funeral is better than a party?
Christian, God gives us a Bible. And that's what gives us an advantage of a better offer. You better ask yourself, who's saying it's better? Is it better for the flesh or the spirit? Is it better in the short run or the long run? And is it better for you, just you, or for God and others? Let's stand. Pastor, come and lead us in a song.